What is it with people from Chicago? They're so happy to have been born there.
Chicago, when is it?
So many people can't wait to tell me they're from Chicago.
You wouldn't understand.
The Bears Nation podcast is powered by On Tap Sports Network.
I've been here 9 months. Things have gone very quickly. We've accomplished a lot, but I'm extremely impatient.
It is a beautiful day in Chicago.
I'm competitive. I want to win, but I also want to do it with integrity and style and grace and class and humility.
We'll call Chicago and notify them of the situation.
This is a destination. People want to come to Chicago.
Hello, Chicago!
And as I sit here today, unequivocally, I believe that we have the right set of individuals, and my expectations going into this season are extremely high, that we need to win the NFC North.
See you in the Super Bowl.
It's the Bears Nation Podcast with Kevin Lapka and Jay Kassan.
Both men of Chicago.
It's Bears Nation, baby.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Let's go.
It is Bears Nation Podcast impromptu Thursday night episode. You can call it Bears Nation Podcast After Dark. Myself, Kevin Lapka, not Jay Kassan, but the man himself, Mike Hughes, the shock hit all over the internet. We had to jump on here. Unbelievable trade just goes down. The Chicago Bears acquire Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen in exchange for a fourth-round pick. Mike, I'm literally making dinner. I'm talking to my sister on FaceTime, and I get the notification on my watch, and I'm like, I gotta go. I ran downstairs. I told my roommate, I said, yo, go turn the burner off upstairs. I gotta go do content for the score and go do a podcast. And here we are, Mike. I'm still riding the high of the trade, right? I mean, like, we'll fall off of it in a little bit. In a couple hours, we'll come back down to earth. But when you get a player like Keenan Allen, as talented as he is, although he's 32, I mean, this is something that gets you excited. Only in exchange for a fourth-round pick. That is a great, great deal for a player of his caliber. I am thrilled. We got a bunch of people hopping in here in the chat, watching on YouTube and Twitter. We appreciate you all for being here. But, Mike, I mean, that reaction when you saw it on your phone, I mean, here we go. Ryan Poles has awoken.
Man, it was so crazy. I was actually live. I was with my boy Rob Scott, and we were literally talking about the comparisons of Caleb Williams and Jay Cutler. And mid sentence, I just like I'm literally on. I'm live on the laptop, on Facebook, YouTube, whatever. But I'm on TikTok, and I see people are saying Keenan Allen. I'm what? So I look at I see the report come in, and I lose my mind. I cannot repeat the things I said on that live. I try to keep it PG on the pod, but I lost my mind. We were rocking out. We had to bring out the hat, Kev. You know, normally when you see a Mike Hughes podcast, baby, you see the B.
Oh, yeah.
But today.
Oh!
What? Josh Jacobs? Josh who? Keenan motherfucking Allen, baby!
We are so back. Hey, so we did a podcast last night. And I said to you on that, you made a clip about it this morning. I said, Poles has yet to make his biggest move. I said, he's waiting on something big. I didn't know it was going to be a trade for Keenan Allen. I thought a trade for a player could have been in the works, but I thought they might have broken the bank on a Mike Williams or another one of the free agents still available, DJ Reader, who went off the board today, right? Like one of the bigger deals. I thought he was waiting for the market to play out and then boom and then go, right? And now he did it, and it's unexpected. Well, I wouldn't say it's unexpected because the Chargers were expected to make certain moves like this. Right. They retained Khalil Mack. They restructured Joey Bosa's contract. But we figured two of those four players between Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, and Khalil Mack would be cap casualties and be restructured or moved or cut or traded because they have to get under the cap. I mean, they have to get under the cap. They're over the cap by like $8 or $20 million, and now they do not have to worry about it. But Keenan Allen comes to the Bears in exchange for a fourth-round pick. And initially, you know, I'm not going to dive into whether it means they're taking Caleb or keeping Justin. I don't think you can make that correlation. But for now, if you want to just evaluate it, regardless of who the QB is, this is a lethal, lethal, lethal wide receiver duo. You are talking about two of the most polished route runners in the NFL lined up right next to each other. Guys who can do different things, but who are technicians as route runners. These are going to be scary wide receivers for defenses to line up against and say, hey, we got to worry about DJ Moore, who can do a ton of different things, who's quick, who's versatile, who will get open in any way. And then you got Keenan Allen, who's been doing this for 12 years in the league, 10 years in the league, rather.
Every single year, he is a Mike open. Williams, bro. I mean, every single year is 1,000 yards from Keenan Allen. You've attested to that. I mean, you and I have spoken about, I didn't even mean to cut you off. We're just so excited here. It's like, brother, Kevin, known you since third grade, bro. We're here, bro. We're here. Kev, we're here. We've talked about these days. The closest we ever got to it was Alshon and Brandon. We're back. Maybe the last time we had that, we weren't going through puberty yet. But Kev, we're back. We have beards now. We're handsome. We're here. I don't,
but you do.
You could. You want.
I could. I choose not to. But yeah, I mean, like this. So again, as we kind of just break this all down here, and you know, come to terms with this and accept this, you really start to think big. Like that's the initial, you know, thing that comes to your head is, hey, we're thinking big right now. We're going big time. This is a team that already has a roster that's ready to win on the defensive side of the ball. We know that. That's a top five defense on that side of the ball, even if they don't make another signing. Top 10, I think another edge rusher in the draft or even a fringe free agent probably gets them top five. You know you're there on the defensive side of the ball. You know you now have skilled playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. You acquire Gerald Everett, who's a good tight end too. You acquire DeAndre Swift, which we talked about. You can say what you want about him. That's an upgrade from what they had last year. Now you pair DJ Moore with Keenan Allen to have a top five wide receiver duo in the NFL. Mike, this screams to you a team that's ready to win regardless of the quarterback. We're not going to talk quarterback for the duration of this episode, because I think if you plug in Caleb Williams or you retain Justin Fields, this is a team and this is a front office and organization that is proving to you right now that you and they are ready to win now.
Can I ask you a question?
Ask me a question. It better not be about the damn quarterback, though.
Not at all. With this move, is Marvin Harrison Jr. still in the question of having one of the greatest trios in the NFL or no?
No, he's not. I don't know. You know what? I take that back. You hit me with this question. I wasn't prepared for it. I will say this. I am unsure if Keenan Allen should preclude you from drafting a wide receiver. That remains to be seen. But right. You do have to understand things about Keenan Allen as we come off that high a little bit, right? We come off that high of the name.
32 injury prone.
I don't think that, especially if you draft Caleb, if you are drafting Caleb Williams and this is your guy for 4 or 5 years, then you would still like to pair him with a Romo Dunze or a Malik Nabers at 9. But if you're trading down and you still have the opportunity, if you're not staying at 1 and you can get the third overall pick and what it may be, I think you still would take best player available there and take Marvin Harrison Jr. What do you think about that?
That's disgusting. I mean, you're looking at a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd type situation.
It's better than that.
Whoever.
It's better than that.
I would say it's better than that. I would definitely, because Tyler, I think the idea is Marvin versus Tyler Boyd and Marvin clears. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think there's a conversation about Jamar and T versus DJ and Keenan. You know what I mean? Because Jamar is Jamar at the end of the day, and T's no scrub. But
right.
It's so interesting right now, bro. It's so interesting right now to see how this can potentially become one of the most dynamic offenses in one offseason. And I will say, to Kevin's point, and I want to give him his flowers. You know, men don't get flowers often, so I got to give them to him. You know, I wasn't huge on DeAndre Swift, and I was kind of like, man, look, we got 6 backups, Kevin Byard, DeAndre Swift, and Gerald Everett. What are we doing? And Kevin was the only one that was like, there's a plan. There was. Is this the end of the plan? I would say it's pretty close to it. I think financially we're getting a little tight on money right now. I would say we're around that $10 million mark, maybe even under it. I'm not sure on the financials, but great move nonetheless. And I will say this, I'm with you 100%. I think you still have to draft a wide receiver. Unless you're that in on Tyler Scott. If you think Tyler Scott's that guy.
Oh, stop it.
But that's what I'm saying. If you think Tyler Scott's that guy who eventually can be a number two, maybe. But from what we've seen thus far, a Roma Dunze, a Malik Nabers, and Kev, the big thing for me is, what are we going to look at in the draft now? Because the Chargers have a top 5 pick. If Marvin's available at 5, they're taking him. The Giants are at 6. They could take them. You know, you have who's at 4? The Arizona Cardinals are at 4.
You make a great point.
You could have 4 wide receivers or 3 wide receivers go 4, 5, and 6. To what is it? Arizona, Chargers, and then the Giants. So yeah, the Bears might be in a situation where you have to take Marvin.
You're in a great. You're great point, and this is a great point from Scott C from Iowa in the chat as well. If you guys are questions, comments, like, we want to hear from you guys right now. We know you guys are just as hyped as we are, so hit in that comment section. Let us know your thoughts and opinions. We're going to read all of them as the show goes on here. But you make a great point. So now the Bears have now lost a pick for this year, because I believe that 4th rounder is from this year. I've yet to see the details on the compensation aside from the fact that it's a 4th rounder. I believe it is the 2024 4th rounder. I haven't seen it from Schefter.
I haven't either.
I believe it is the 2024. So you have 4 picks left in this draft. right? You have the 2-1s and the 2-3s, and I think in a 3 and a 4, and that's all you have. So you have to trade down. Yes. I think you have to trade down one of the picks. You have to. And I don't know if it's 1 or 9, but you have to accumulate more draft capital. They have done a great job of building up this roster with youth talent across the board. I'm not worried about that, but you still have to continue that. You cannot get to a point where you do accept the win now mentality and you start to get reckless with your draft capital. That is not what good teams do. That is not what the Kansas City Chiefs do. That is not what the New England Patriots did for their dynasty. You still must retain your draft capital because this is how you build a team that's successful year over year. If you fall into that trap, you can get into a situation where your window is a lot smaller than you expect it to be. That is what happens for a lot of these teams that are, you know, are trading away draft capital and signing expiring aging veterans. And then just like this, it all it takes is 1 year and your window's closed. And I have a feeling that's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles after this year, right? So I think at one of those, either 1 or 9, you absolutely have to trade down. And as we kind of talk this through, Mike, is their plan unfolding in front of our eyes? Like, are we learning anything? I know I said I wouldn't necessarily come right to a conclusion, but as I'm talking through this, and I don't know if it's one, but they are 100% trading down from either 1 or 9. They have to. You have to accumulate more draft capital. And look, but here's the good thing, Mike, real quick, and then I'll let you speak on that.
No, sure.
The thing that I think Ryan Poles is recognizing is this. He missed huge on his first big skill position draft pick in Velus Jones Jr. He missed big in acquiring Chase Claypool. You can't say he missed necessarily yet, but Tyler Scott wasn't necessarily what he was made out to be.
Right.
So at this point. So he has now what he's done for himself. And he did last year. He says, you know what? I'm just going to go get the for sure thing in Carolina and get DJ Moore. And now I'm going to go get the for sure thing in Los Angeles. So now no matter who the quarterback is, we at least got two for sure things. And we're not relying on Velus Jones Jr. We're not relying on Tyler Scott. We're not relying on guys who haven't proven it yet in the league. So I feel like that's growth and recognition from him to say, hey, you know what? I missed on my first couple evaluations at the wide receiver position with Chase Claypool, Velus Jones Jr., and Tyler Scott. Let me bring in guys who have done this before. So I know 100%. We have a wide receiver core that is going to be ready to win now with whatever quarterback it may be. So, Mike, I think, do you agree they might be revealing their plan, maybe not at 1, but definitely at 9, that they're going to trade down?
I don't. I disagree with that for the
really?
One reason that they didn't address a Danielle Hunter counterpart or a Yannick Ngakoue replacement to pair up.
I don't think that's
what they have. Let me tell you, there is a crazy amount of pass rushers in this year's draft. And if you, and I know we're not supposed to talk about this, but if you're drafting Caleb Williams at 1, if that is a sure thing, if that is a lock, like everybody and their mama around the sun sees it to be, if that's the facts, I would look at who you're going to draft at 9, who is one of the top pass rushers in the NFL. I think you didn't address the defensive line whatsoever. Jared Veris is one of those guys out of Florida State that I think, Dallas Turner is another guy that I think you look at. There's a couple cats out there that are going to be available at 9. And why I say that is because, like we just talked about, Keenan Allen's gone. The Giants, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many teams that need a wide receiver right now, especially when you look at what happened today. You know, you're looking at a Rondale Moore gets traded for a bag of chips. That shows me Arizona's like, we're getting Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, that's what it showed me. So you're looking at these teams that are going to take a wide receiver super early. If you're at 9 and you know Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze are going to be gone, and it was a bag of chips and it
you,
wasn't
you just
a good
called
one,
Desmond Ridder a bag of chips because they traded him straight up for Desmond Ridder. So you just
I mean,
called
I'm
Desmond
sorry,
Ridder.
But Desmond I mean, Ridder is. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't Cincinnati anymore. Tyler Scott, I'm on your butt. You know, Desmond Ridder, I'm on your butt. But, you know, I think when you look at what they've been able to do, you need to address that final key spot in the pass rush. This is a team that led the league in interceptions and sacks in 2023, and they didn't even have a lot of play from a guy like Yannick Ngakoue and, what was it, DeMarcus Walker. So
they did not lead the league in sacks, but interceptions, yes.
Interceptions, yeah. I think they were close in sacks, no?
No, not even close.
Not even close?
No, because they had gone McCaffrey. They had so many they had so little sacks in the beginning of the year.
I think they were close, Kev. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know. Maybe we'll double check that. But look, you're right. You're absolutely right. But here's the thing, Mike, and I'll counter that. you have the ability. So you talked about the run of wide receivers 4, 5, 6. So say the draft plays out this way. All right, let's just do a hypothetical mock here as we have, you know, a ton of viewers jumping in right now. Appreciate you guys all watching. Again, keep dropping those comments in here. Love to hear you guys' reaction and opinion and thoughts here. If it goes Caleb Williams 1, Jaden Daniels 2, and Drake May 3, you go to 3 quarterbacks, 1, 2, 3, and then you go subsequently 3 wide receivers to Arizona, then Los Angeles, and then New York. So now you have the 6 overall pick. You're at the 7 overall pick, rather. And there's still all the offensive tackles on the board. There's still all the defensive ends on the board. And there's still quarterbacks that teams are going to trade up for on the board. We were saying on this show the other day, Jake and I were, J.J. McCarthy is going to be a top 15 pick. Bo Nix might be top 20. And I think Penix is top 15. I think that's going to happen with the strength of this quarterback class. So here's what can happen, Mike. If you're talking about a high volume of receivers going in the top 10, quarterbacks going in the top 15, and other skill position players like the tackles and Fashanu and Alt, who are objectively very good players, but just aren't, you know, above the top of the class because the needs aren't there for some of those teams, you're going to be in a position to get Dallas Turner or to get Jared Verse at 15 or 16 and accumulate a ton of draft capital. So I think Ryan Poles has to let the draft come to him now. He knows what the need is. He knows the only need on this team right now, the only glaring hole if they were to play one season, would be the defensive end. Obviously, right, we still think they should take wide receiver for the future and build that up for 4 or 5 years. But if you were to play one season and say you're just talking about 2024, the biggest glaring hole and really the only glaring hole at this point now after shoring up the center position today is defensive end. So he has options and he can trade down, accumulate draft capital, pick one there and pick another one in the 3rd or 4th and just build that position up, because they've done a great job, Mike, of finding depth through free agency and in draft classes prior throughout this entire time. They just signed 3 offensive linemen, whether you think they're good or not. It's great depth at that position. They've been signing depth at defensive back with Jonathan Owens and other guys. So this is, look, he is playing this perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Now let the draft come to you. Trade down. Mike, I'll say it right now. They're trading down. There is not a doubt in my mind. And you don't have to go that far. You could get a team. If you look at the draft order, go ahead.
Are you saying in either situation, or is this number one? You were just
talking about 9 right now. I'm talking about 9.
Okay.
Perfect example. All right. Bears have the 9th overall pick. Number 12, Denver Broncos. Say they really want J.J. McCarthy and they want to jump the Vikings to get J.J. McCarthy or to get Michael Penix Jr. Boom. They'll give up not a king's ransom. They'll give up you might get a 2nd rounder back for that to go up 4 spots, to give it 3 spots in the first round of the NFL draft. I had to look at previous trades to see what the return would be for that. Or maybe you get a player from Denver. So
what did the Bears trade in order to trade up to get Justin Fields?
Oh, that's a great question. And then what did they? They got a 4th rounder to move back with Philadelphia last year, right?
Right. They got.
And I believe they just traded that 4th rounder.
Yeah. Oops. But no. To your point, while you're looking that up, I also want to say sorry to the chat. It was number 2 in run stopping defense, not in sacks. I had to get my numbers right. But no, I definitely agree. I'm curious to see what we traded in exchange to get Justin Fields at 11.
How do we forget about this? So they sent the number 20 overall pick and a 5th rounder to get a 2022 1st rounder and a 4th round pick. But that was moving up 9 slots. Okay, so the Bears moved from 20 to 11, and they got a 4th, and the Giants rather got a 4th. And a 1st round pick in return. And the Bears also had to give up a 5th. So you're getting a 2nd. You're getting a 2nd for sure. If you're just going down 4 spots, and so you could get a 2nd going down 4 spots and still get your pick of the litter at edge. There's still a chance you get Dallas Turner or Jared Verse. And there's actually a very good chance you get one of those guys at 13. So this is turning out to be a Ryan Poles masterclass. Mm-hmm. And he's doing this right. And you give him a 4th rounder for Keenan Allen. Mike, he had 1,200 yards last year. He had a game with 234 receiving yards last year. Like, he's not washed up at this point. He's not.
So let me ask you this. I want to paint a picture. Is any quarterback in the room, and I'd love to hear people in the chat, let me know how you feel. Whether it's Justin Fields or Caleb Williams.
Oh, God.
Due to the weapons and the offensive talent we have right now, where should the Bears 2024 QB1 rank in all of the NFL?
Well, I don't know if it's about the quarterback, but I know it's about the team. And I'll tell you this much, Mike. This team If I were to do it right now, I don't know what their win total is on FanDuel, but I'm hammering the over. This team should win 12 games no matter who the quarterback is. And maybe 12 steep. Let's go 11. Let's go 11. And I'm sorry, that's the standard. I mean, that is the standard. I'm sorry, that's where we are right now. You have built a team that's ready to win. I don't want to hear anything about, oh, it's a rookie quarterback and we're going to take a step back and that's expected. No, Ryan Poles has built this team to win this year and to win now. Like he has. And I'm not patient enough to wait any longer. This is a team that's ready to win. Let's fucking win. I don't care if we have a rookie quarterback. I don't care if it's Justin Fields. Like, let's win football games and do what Ryan Poles said in his introductory press conference to take the North and never give it back. Like, you are in a position to do it now. I still think the Lions are the best team in the division, but you have a team that's going to compete, and it's going to be in every single game because of the defense, and is going to have an offense that's going to keep them explosive the entire game. This is a very good time to be a Bears fan, Mike. It's a very, very, very good time to be a Bears fan. 11-6 would be the number, Bear Mysterio. Appreciate you hopping in on Twitter. But yes, that's my
isn't
floor.
Isn't it an 18-game season now, Kev, or is that next year?
17-game season. No. They're not expanding it to 18. Am I wrong? Is that the floor? I don't want to say the floor. Let's say the floor is 10. The floor is 10.
I mean, last year with Luke Getsy and Darnell Mooney, you got 7. So you bring in DeAndre Swift. You bring in a revamped offensive line with all the depth in the world. This is the most depth I've seen on an offensive line since the early 2000s on the Chicago Bears. That's just being real. You know, you bring in a top five defense, I would say top 10. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's Caleb, whether it's Justin, you bring in Shane Waldron to help develop them. If the floor last year or the ceiling last year was 7 games, the way you've brought in Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Gerald Everett, and all these other guys, I mean, you have to look at yourself at the end of the day and say that this is at minimum a double-digit team win. This is at minimum.
Yes.
Especially, Kev, when Sam Darnold is your counterpart. You know what I mean?
And that's your opponent?
Come on, bro. Like, what are we talking about?
Yeah, they'll still draft a quarterback. But yeah, sure. I mean, like, you know, Green Bay is getting better, and they're going to be good next year. We know that. And Detroit is bolstering up their defense with some cornerback trades, and that was their biggest weakness last year. But this is a division that's open for you. And you know, just get in. Just get into the playoffs, man. Like that, like, just get into the playoffs. Like, I just, that is what the expectation is. And that's what they should be saying in the locker room. And that's what Ryan Poles should be saying to the team, you know, whenever they first meet for OTAs, is like, we've made the moves now. And I know the expectation last year was maybe to just improve the win total, right? Like, we weren't sure if that team was going to, we thought that team had the potential to win 10 games. And at the end of the year, it looked like they did. And they were led astray by an offensive coordinator who wasn't sure how to run offense. There was a lack of talent in certain areas that needed shored up. And the coach wasn't good. Matt Eberflus wasn't good until the latter half of the season. So now the expectation is there. And you must set that expectation high no matter the player. Now, here's the dangerous part about this, Mike. Here's the dangerous part. There is truth to the fact that Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation a number one pick has ever walked into, ever. Undebatable. Not undisputed. Sure. There is not a debate for this. It is the best situation. But to come with that is the fact that the pressure is automatically higher than any number one quarterback in NFL history. Not even close, for two reasons. One, he's already touted as one of the most, you know, highly touted quarterbacks of all time, coming out of the draft, generational prospect, the words we've heard thrown around in association with Caleb Williams. So that's already been there. And I've said this before, that the pressure is already incredibly high because of those things. But now you take that and you add that into a team that's ready to win. If they don't win 10 games, the conversation about Caleb Williams goes south very quickly. Mm-hmm. And the conversations we have in this city about the quarterback position happen quicker than you want it to if they don't hit that mark. Because I know he's a rookie, but if you're as good as you say you are, there are no excuses. If you're as good as you say you are and you think you can do all the things Patrick Mahomes can do, then with this team, you better win 10 games. And if you don't, then you haven't lived up to the billing. Then you haven't lived up to what you said you're going to be. So the pressure is incredibly high for Caleb Williams if he were a Bear. And it's a scary thing for Ryan Poles to walk into that meeting when they have that 10, you know, that day-long pro day and that day-long meeting with Caleb Williams and say, are you ready for this? Are you ready to handle everything that comes with not just being the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, But being a part and being a part of a team that's ready to win and deal with the expectation that the wins have to come now, because we're not wasting time. We're not wasting Keenan Allen, who's 32 years old. We're not wasting a season with him. We know he might not be the same player in 2 years. So we're winning with him now. And that is an incredible, incredible amount of pressure that they are putting on Caleb Williams. And it's not like, it's not a bad, I'm not saying it's a bad thing for putting pressure on him for building a team.
But I think your point is really just breaking down. Like we heard Dave Kaplan talk about this on ESPN. You know, like you come to Chicago, there's no, hey, I'm not talking to the media today. You know what I mean? This isn't USC. You are talking to the media. You are in the spotlight every single day. If you take a dump, someone's going to know about it. You know what I mean? Like that's just what it is when you play QB1 in Chicago. We've seen what happens to guys like Mitch Trubisky, where you're at the point where you have to turn off the TVs in Hallis Hall because you can't hear it anymore. You're tired of it. We've seen Justin Fields take all the heat. We've seen Jay Cutler, who Jay was probably my favorite one, who just didn't deal with it. You know, Jay just did not care about it. But
right.
The point of all of it is understanding that, can you handle this pressure? Can you be the guy you say you're going to be? I'm excited about it. Now, according to his Twitter today, he doesn't think he can be that guy because he agrees with Devin Hester. But I'm excited to see if maybe everybody's wrong about the kid. You know, we talk about the lows. We talk about what happens if you can't be that guy. Kevin, what happens if he is that guy? What happens if he is the next Patrick Mahomes with a top five defense, with Matt Eberflus at the helm, with Shane Waldron helping develop him, and obviously the best offensive production we have seen from a Chicago Bears offense since Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. So I'm excited what we're going to see if this is the case, whether, and I want to make this point, this final point, because I think it's important. Whether it's Caleb or it's JF1, Bears need to win games. And that's what it comes down to. If you're a Bears fan right now, I don't care if it's Jaden Daniels. I don't care if it's Drake May. I don't care if it's Tyson Bagent. If Ryan Poles goes up there today and says, this guy's going to win us 12 games and we're going to the Super Bowl, I'm here for it, ride or die. So I'm hoping it's JF1 in my heart. But I understand this is a business. I understand by bringing in Keenan, this kind of, like we talked about earlier, this kind of X's out the Marvin Harrison Jr. conversation at 3 or 4. If you trade down, you're kind of expecting this now, depending on how the pro day goes, which is less than a week away now, about 6 days. I'm excited about this, Kev. I think the sky is the limit, and this is probably, in our 24 years of life, the biggest offseason we've had as Bears fans.
Dude, I just saw the funniest thing on Twitter. Credit to Adam Rank on Twitter for this. He says, quote, Ryan Poles trading for a wide receiver who wears number 13 is a pretty clear indication he's not drafting Caleb Williams.
I saw that. I was literally going to bring that up to you earlier. I have it posted up. I was going to ask you who's wearing 13 if it comes down to it. And I think the answer is Caleb. You know what I mean? I think the answer is Caleb if you're the number one pick.
Yeah, sure. But like at the same time, this is a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Stop.
Who has made his name with number 13. No, I'm just kidding.
We've seen Odell change the three.
I'm not going to dive into that. That just is a funny thing to recognize.
I thought the same thing. I like Adam Rank, bro. He's hilarious.
Or Caleb Williams is just going to wear like number 1 or 2 or 3 or 4.
Let me tell you this, bro. You and I both know Fields fans, if he takes number one, he takes number one, lose their mind.
Oh, if he takes number one, I think I'd be out on him if he took number one.
I think I would literally just get my Fields jersey and tape Williams to the front and just rock like that. I'm not buying another one.
Expensive. No, you have to buy one of those from, you know, overseas for like $12. And
DH Gate or something.
It's going to say Caleb William with an O or something, like Caleb Williams or something. Yeah, exactly, like something crazy like that. We still rocking with about 400 people here in the stream. We appreciate you guys all tuning in right now. We know you guys are all hyped. We'll probably head out here about 5 minutes, but just like, again, kind of recapping everything we talked about, this is a significant move made by the Bears that proves they're ready to win now. We'll review the conversation. Again, it's a 4th-round pick in exchange for Keenan Allen. I had to do more research on the financials of this. I believe somebody in the chat said he's due a $5 million roster bonus on Sunday. Good chat from Scott C. from Iowa bringing that in for us. I got to look at the spot rack for the rest of the contract details for Keenan Allen, because we know that he was obviously on a contract with the Chargers, and I'm not sure when that contract was supposed to end, but via the trade, the Bears will assume that contract from Keenan Allen. And who knows, maybe they will restructure that contract once he becomes a Bear. I believe Schefter also reported that he wasn't willing to take a pay cut with the Chargers or some sense. And for that reason, he was made available for trade. I got to double check that. But sure. Just a significant move made by the Chicago Bears to Ryan Poles. And they do it once again. Like, Mike, it's a funny thing because I work in sports media and like I'm sitting there all day today. Right. Just like, all right, can we make a move? Can we do a signing? Can we
you
do
saw
something?
Shelton and all
right?
these guys. I'm like,
right. We're signing, you know, Cameron Shelton, which is a good, Coleman Shelton, which is a good signing. But could this have happened at 2 p.m., please, for my sake as a content creator? But when they traded the number one overall pick last year, it was a Friday at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And now they do this on a Thursday at 9 p.m. It's so funny how Ryan Poles seems to do these things at certain times and not during the broad of daylight. So, look, man, I'm elated. And I know we'll come off this high a little bit. I know we will. But for the moment right now, you as the viewer and as the fan of the team have every reason to be excited and thrilled about what this means for the Chicago Bears and what this means for just the future of the team, regardless of the quarterback. So I'm glad this takes away from the conversation for a little bit. And we can all be united on the fact that this is a team that is objectively good. This is a team that objectively should be the playoffs and is ready to win now. And Mike, as Bears fans, we don't get to say that often. So it's a good feeling, baby.
Yes, sir. It's a feel good. It's a feel good Thursday. We're going into Friday with a feel good Friday, St. Patrick's Day weekend. If you guys are tuning in and you're in the Chicagoland area, be safe this weekend. Be lovely. Have a great time. It's the luck of the Irish, and Poles keeps getting luckier. That Irish spring green, that man's on 2K, hitting 99% from three because the man don't miss. The man don't miss right now. I'm hyped about it, bro. I mean, this is everything. I mean, I can't fathom what training camp tickets are going to look like going into this summer. I mean, it's going to be a blast. I mean, and the worst part about this, Kev, is I would literally have my Keenan Allen jersey pre-ordered, but that is the exact reason why I'm not, is because I have to find out who's wearing 13 in Chicago. And I think that's going to be one of the more interesting conversations as the week continues.
The first question that they'll ask Keenan Allen will be that one. I can tell you that. I can tell you that.
You're giving up 13.
Hey,
here's Tyler Scott. Like, I ain't giving
up. Oh, shit. I forgot about Tyler Scott. Oh, boy.
Tyler
yeah, imagine
Scott's like,
Tyler
well,
Scott.
Somebody's
like,
paying me is
the
all
fuck
I
you
know.
Think we're doing? Yeah, someone's there. He said, no price can. I was going to make a legend out of number 13 in Chicago. Yeah, ain't nobody taking this. Caleb, you could go wear number 3. And Keenan, you could wear number 88. I don't give a fuck. That's cool. Tyler Scott's going to do. But Mike, you are the man for jumping on. Jake is a bozo and hanging out with my boy Isaac. Now, love you, Jake, if you're watching. I know you're definitely not. But he'll be back. We'll break some more things down tomorrow probably. But we had to get my boy Mike on for that instant reaction. So I appreciate you, my guy. I appreciate the over 450 viewers right now watching Bears Nation Podcast, breaking down Keenan Allen. We love you guys. Green Bay sucks. That's right. We'll see you all next time. For myself, Kevin Lapka, that's Mike Hughes. This has been Bears Nation Podcast.